You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back with us, Arizona, and let's get ready to get a little bit of earth and soil underneath our fingernails. It's a beautiful day outside, nice overcast. We won't have to worry about getting burned or scalded. Even this time of year, it's just as easy to end up with a little bit of fairness on the skin after a long day in the sun. We've got Jay Harper in with the Farm's Choice. Today we're going to be talking roses. If you'd like to join the conversation or have questions about your landscape, garden, anything outdoors in your yard, it's 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE-4U. You can text to 411-923, just like that one right there, ding. And you can also email if you have if you need help with plant or insect identification. You can snap a picture on your phone, email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Good morning, sir.
And how are you?
I am well. How
Katie left, we can all have those Krispy Kremes now.
So you're not a 30-day Playo diet participant?
No.
didn't hit your ranch either.
No, that's, you know, we do eat relatively healthy, I think. Lots of veggies. I like fruits and vegetables. I've always been a you know, my mom didn't have to shove those down my throat. I've always liked them. I like Brussels sprouts. I like all the stuff people don't seem to care for that much. So,
as a third-generation gardener, it's good that you do like to eat vegetables.
I suppose, right? Yeah, I suppose that made it easier for me to teach people and tell people how to plant and grow them if you enjoy eating them. There's only one I'm not that fond of, and I'm, you know, even as I've matured, I still don't care for okra all that much. Mm. I mean, I know that'll break Rosie's heart, but it's still not my favorite, but I can eat it if I have to.
You need to pickle.
You put enough shrimp and sausage and good stuff in there with it, bacon, it's not bad.
I like it pickled hot.
That is good that way. Yeah. That is good that way. So,
you know, my hardest part on the okra, the ones I grow, how do they grow those little small ones? By the time they come to...
Well, you pick them quicker.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, they start three times that big. Is there like a dwarf okra plant that I need to find the seed for?
There is, but they literally just, they catch them. You just, they just get that big overnight. You have to stay on top of them. They do get tough if you let them get pretty big, so you got to pick them quick every day. Maybe twice a day sometimes.
Sometimes.
But, you know, and we're talking about roses today, though. And Katie and I did have an interesting conversation. We've had this before about the health benefits of gardening in general, doing yard chores. I won't call it work because we don't want to scare people off. But is great exercise. You can be in pretty darn good shape and go out there and do yard work and you'd be sore the next day. Because there are stretching and using muscles that you don't often use even in a regular workout. So it is a great physical activity. You know, it doesn't do much for your cardio, I suppose, but it's great for stretching and flexibility and balance and strengthening. And I would encourage people to just even mow your own grass. Just do some kind of activity. I'm getting a little taste of that, having switched careers now with the Farm's Choice and being a salesperson. I'm sitting
a lot of windshield time,
a lot of desk time that I am not used to, and it was kind of a rude awakening. I went out on a little outdoor activity the other day, and man, I was sucking air. Like, holy crap, what happened?
It's windshield time in between eating appointments. You meet somebody in Glendale for breakfast, then you got to meet somebody in Casa Grande for lunch.
Bad combination. Sitting on your butt and eating. But So gardening, I look forward to the weekend, and I still mow my own grass. At least I get a little bit of exercise. I'm finding out that's not enough, however. So great, great. You can, an hour of yard work's just about the same equivalency as an hour or so in the gym. So maybe one day a week, instead of going to the gym, get out and do some gardening activity. Rose bushes this time of year, we'll finally get to rose bushes. It's on the Rosie on the House, the new calendar. This is the weekend we've earmarked for talking about rose bushes. Get your calendar, by the way.
RosieOnTheHouse.com/calendar. It's on the menu bar. It's under the homeowner resources. It's free. And today, I'm a couple weeks late getting this done, but, I mean, there's just so many intricate details. Every line, every picture is a clickable image for this calendar. It's a very functioning tool. But you can go there today. We actually have January completely posted, and you can click on those links. So then if you click on roses, it'll take you to our article, and this podcast will be on that page later as we talk through the varieties of roses that do well, how to care for them. They look beautiful right now, but you got to chop them down, fertilizing them throughout the year.
There's an unfair mystique surrounding roses, you know, that they are hard to grow, that they take a lot of work. I'm not sure why that is, other than the rose has this mystique and image of being this regal flower and surrounded with, you know, royalty and, you know, big time presence and that sort of thing. And certainly they are magnificent, but there's all kinds of roses and there's all kinds of ways to grow roses. And you don't have to grow roses to enter a contest and show roses and have them critiqued and have the perfect rose. If you're going to grow roses in your backyard for color, for enjoyment, for scent, for fragrance, then there's a lot of opportunities for you. You can grow them in containers if you don't have a big spot to plant roses. You know, there are varieties that do great in containers. One thing that they don't lend themselves very well to is in our kind of new xeriscape type concept with lots of gravel around them. I wouldn't recommend them in a hot, gravelly situation. You need to have a bed that's dedicated to the roses, and you need to use lots of organic material around the roses, lots of mulch, compost, that sort of thing. So if you can dedicate a little planting area, and a friend of mine who's a big-time rosarian, Ryan Rieger, has his whole backyard is just a series of planting beds, and you can walk around and in between them. And in these beds is just lots of good organic material and just big mass plantings of rose bushes, and they really are his landscape. So you can go from landscaping with roses, because they come in different sizes. Some varieties get rather large, some stay small, so you can plan your beds accordingly. There are rose trees, so little patio trees for front entryways or in containers. There's, you know, very small growing roses for little hedges and things like that. Miniature roses do great in containers. So there's almost an application for everything. And here of late, anybody that's driven around in kind of the Arcadia, Central Phoenix area, there's been a renaissance of sorts when it comes to planting roses, particularly a variety called Iceberg, which is a shrub-type rose. It doesn't have to be pruned all that finickily. It can just be kind of pruned back like a normal landscape shrub. And they look just awesome with the greenery of your landscape with these white flowering roses. So there's been a big resurgence in using roses as more of a landscape shrub than just a quote-unquote rose bush or a rose planting bed. Now, the couple of things that you do have to do with roses, you do generally have to cut them back this time of year. again, depending on the varieties that you have, that doesn't have to be a hard task. If you've got landscape or shrub-type roses, you simply can just hedge them back. But you got to get rid of that old growth. Roses bloom on the new ends, the new tips, the terminal ends of growth. So we want to create a lot of new growth by taking off all of that old growth and letting them rejuvenate and regrow and put on a lot of flowers.
Now, let me ask you a question. what happens if I don't cut that off? How long will they stay looking good? And the reason I'm asking that, if you've got a mature one enough, could you cut just half of them off so that you can have a nice foliage for a couple more months before the new foliage of the other one starts to flush out?
Well, I suppose. But the problem is that you'd then have a plant that was mixed with a bunch of old growth with new growth. The old growth usually will start to get unsightly, and it'll kind of fall off and slough off on its own. So you end up with a plant that's rather large and sparsely foliated, kind of down in the middle to the bottom. You'll start losing all your leaves, and you won't have any leaves up to a point, and then you'll have a lot of new growth at the end. They're still going to put on new growth, but we want the whole plant pretty much to have new growth as opposed to just the ends of the plant.
You couldn't thin it enough that it would ever look as good as you wanted it.
I think that would be a lot of work. It's a lot easier just to bite the bullet.
Just to chop it off.
And especially this year, as warm as it's been, I'm looking at rose bushes around town, and they are fabulous. They're probably the best blooms of the year we get are in the late fall and early winter because the temperatures are so perfect for growing roses. Seriously, if you cut them back in 30 days, you have new growth. In 45 to 60 days, they're blooming again. You just don't miss that much. And I think we just have got in Phoenix, Arizona, to get past the fact that our landscape needs to look perfect 365 days out of the year.
A little spoiled.
Well, it's spoiled. It's also not realistic. Katie talked about realistic goals for your health, your weight, your New Year's resolutions being real. We need to be realistic with gardening as well.